Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Clingman's Dome, the highest peak in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is officially reverting to its original and authentic Cherokee name, Kuwohi, after suffering more than 150 years of oppression being burdened with the name of a Confederate general. Of course, we celebrate the highly righteous practice of stripping names from explorers, scientists, and discovery makers who used to enjoy the privilege of conquest through naming rights. It's an extra bonus if we can take the name away from some dead straight white Christian man, in this case the Swiss seminarian turned geographer Arnold Guyot, and give it to the indigenous peoples of the Cherokee Nation. But it's an even sweeter joy to know that the man being dead named was Confederate scum. Yes, Thomas Lanier Clingman was a Democrat U.S. representative, a lawyer, and a U.S. senator from North Carolina, and a Southern brigadier general, so obviously, nobody. And yes, even though the mountain was named for Clingman in 1859, 2 years prior to the Civil War, that almost makes it an easier decision. He reneged on his oath, and so we renege on his name. As a result, the towering peak will now simply be called Kuwohi, the Cherokee word meaning mulberry place. Yes, Kuwohi, like Denali, Mesahehe Mountain, and soon to be the former Jeff Davis Peak, will now officially be part of the sweeping away of the white man's history as the Department of the Interior's rarely talked about Bureau of Virtuous Rightthink renames more than 600 geographic features. And of course, this is all part of the general project of making white people feel uncomfortable, unwelcome, and alienated from this land, just like they did to the natives. So down with Whitey, up with Reddy, and Clingman's Dome we cast thee out in favor of Kuwohi. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Eugene Daniels, the gay black White House press correspondent for Politico, who was part of the team interviewing Vice President Kamala Harris for the National Association of Black Journalists this week. Now I know what you're thinking. How dare we cancel a double protected category person holding both acronym and African American identity documents? Yes, normally he would be safer than a made man in the mafia. I understand. But remember your very first principle of wokeness. Anyone, anywhere, at any time can be canceled for any reason. This is the fear that inspires us not to disobey. And disobey Eugene Daniels most definitely did. He was the journalist who infamously kept asking Her Eminence Queen Kamala I difficult questions and then repeating the question when she deftly avoided answering it. In fact, he asked her the same question three different times about two different subjects, U.S. policy towards Israel and abortion, making Her Highness's repetitive talking points sound increasingly vapid and evasive. Repeating a question even one time implies a deficiency in the interviewee because it means the asker doesn't believe she answered it originally, but asking thrice... twice? That's almost like calling someone a liar out loud. So rude, so demeaning, and as Princess Hillary herself observed, also sexist.
Also because they're still grappling with the idea like, oh, am I really going to vote for a woman to be president and commander-in-chief?
She's right. The only time a male journalist asks a woman the same question more than once is when he hates women. Perhaps he's one of those men who like men precisely because he only has disdain for women. But even just demanding she answer specific policy questions is a form of sexism. Surely Mr. Daniels would never ask a male candidate for president. And this is another thing that Princess Hillary was exactly right about.
He does not have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut to the chase. In fact, she's put out policies on her campaign website. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's truly interested can go and read about them. She referenced policies.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The first black/Asian woman to run for president doesn't have to answer specific policy questions, especially when asked multiple times. Instead, she can just tell stories, give word salad history lessons in a condescending tone, and remind you that she grew up in the middle class. Just like a man would. So for committing black-on-black rhetorical violence in the third degree, we cancel thee, Eugene Daniels. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, Cameron Yast, the U.S. Navy captain and former commanding officer of the Arleigh Burke-class destroyer, the USS John McCain. Although Yast may not be a household name, many of you have surely seen the photo for which he was relieved of command. The social media post showed the skipper shooting a standard-issue M4 assault weapon into the ocean on board his ship while looking through a scope with brass flying everywhere. Unfortunately for Captain Yass, the scope was mounted backwards, which, had he actually been using it in combat, would have made his target look smaller rather than larger. Online critics noticed this gaffe immediately and mocked the picture mercilessly, even including the United States Marine Corps, who shared the post along with the devastating caption, "Clear sight picture." Because of all the negative press and for bringing disrepute upon the Navy, Yast was relieved of command. Now, dear Otherin, certainly we find ourselves conflicted about this incident. On the one hand, because he is a member of the military and actively engaged in the firing of a murder stick in this picture, we shed no tears over his cancellation. On the other hand, however, we are somewhat grateful to Yast precisely because, in misusing his weapon this way, he did make the Navy look bad, and anything that makes the Navy look bad, we think is a good thing. Since militaries are a tremendous waste of money, and because the Navy indoctrinates impressionable young sailors with nationalistic jingoism and embodies the premise of violence as a way of solving problems, we love seeing any portion of the military lampooned. We do not believe in militaries. We believe in peace through peacefulness, and harmony through harmoniousness, and safety through random acts of kindness and a winsome smile. Also, relieving him of command for improper use of a machine gun implies that there can never be a proper use of a machine gun. But of course, we know that these death wands have no place on any part of this planet. Also, and some may miss this part, those cylindrical oblong bullet containers, I think maybe they're called casings, flying around out of his M4 look as if they may actually be falling right into the ocean in a brazen act of metal pollution. Not to even mention the metal being shot into the water. So, despite embarrassing the war machine, Captain Yast must be cast overboard. For promoting warfare, for possessing a firearm, and for polluting the world's oceans, in addition to probably killing some unlucky fish downrange, we tell thee woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Refreshments this week are provided by Misty Mountain Hops, non-alcoholic beer brewed only from the finest all-natural streams of mountains that have been renamed in honor of indigenous peoples. Yes, certified to have been peed into only by de-whitified wildlife, the otherwise flavor-free, alcohol-free brews remind you that sometimes justice is the most tasteless of all the flavors. Misty Mountain Hops, you really can't taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.